Hello and welcome back to the MJA podcast. I'm your host, Kate Swanell. In 2015, the MJA published new guidelines for the management of paracetamol poisoning in Australia and New Zealand. In the 4 years since then, new evidence has provoked some recommended changes for practice. Dr. Angela Chu, an emergency physician and toxicologist at the Prince of Wales Hospital and the New South Wales Poisons Information Centre, was the lead author of the 2015 guidelines. She's back with us today to talk about the new recommendations. The last time we chatted was in 2015 when the paracetamol poisoning guidelines came out. You were lead author on that. You've now published a summary of some changes to practice. What evidence came up in the intervening 4 years that has changed some things?
So there's a few things that have happened actually in the intervening 4 years. Probably the major change is going to a two-bag NAC regimen. So data came out from Australia.
Yep.
There's actually a few Australian papers and some American and European papers that looked at two-bag versus the traditional three-bag acetylcysteine regimen. So the traditional regimen, what happens is you got a bolus dose over anywhere between 15 minutes and an hour, and that bolus was associated with, you know, adverse effects such as people get like an anaphylactoid reaction, and that rate was actually quite high.
Okay.
And so what various groups studied is actually combining the first two bags and creating a two-bag protocol. Loading dose is given a lot slower over 4 hours. Instead of giving 150 milligrams per kilo over a short time and then 50 milligrams per kilo over 4 hours, they combine them together and get 200 milligrams per kilo over 4 hours. And when they've studied it, some prospectively, some retrospectively, they found that it significantly decreased the rate of the non-IgE anaphylaxis or anaphylactoid reaction. There's data that's been published in abstract, due to be published hopefully soon, which shows that it's not inferior to the three-bag regimen. Most of the tox units, or nearly all the tox units in Australia, bar a few, are using the two-bag regimen,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of the hospitals have changed anyway, so we thought it'd be best if the whole country changed. And probably reduces error because, although it hasn't been proven, but it's simpler because it's only two bags. So that's probably one of the major changes. The other changes, so two other major changes, the massive. We now, before we kind of recommended or suggested we increase acetylcysteine dose if you have a massive overdose with a high paracetamol level. And now we're saying the evidence has come out now that increasing acetylcysteine in those people who take big overdoses with high levels, more than double the nomogram, that having increased acetylcysteine decreases their risk of liver injury. So that's now formally put in the guidelines.
Okay.
And actually probably one of the other biggest changes is modified release paracetamol.
Yes, this is the one I wanted to talk to you about, because
what
is the difference between poisonings with immediate release paracetamol and modified release?
So modified release paracetamol is actually a combination of IR and slow release. Actually, the majority of the tablet slow release. It's about 66% of the tablet. And so then you can imagine what happens in an overdose after you take it. The treatment used was actually kind of just extrapolated from immediate release. So it used to have the nomogram, you used to do two levels 4 hours apart, but that was never that was never subject to a study and was extrapolated from what we thought from immediate release data and from more from simulated overdoses. So they're not toxic overdoses because obviously you can't poison volunteers, or they were from therapeutic doses. And so what we did and the group in Europe did is started collecting cases of these overdoses. Unfortunately, in Australia, these overdoses are often quite large because the only pack size available is the 96 tablets.
Right.
Doesn't come in any smaller pack size, so they tend to be larger overdoses. And what we found is that the paracetamol levels and the absorption was quite erratic. So people initially could have quite low levels and then they could go quite high.
So it's essentially
could remain high for days.
Yeah, it's the overdose that keeps on giving, isn't it?
Yeah, and it was really unpredictable. And so data from initially came out from Europe, and then we did a larger study in Australia, and we found that the standard treatment, people were still at risk of getting liver injury, was higher than the immediate release group. So this led us to decide that, and people were still getting toxicity even with levels below the line. We've just decided that everyone who takes a toxic dose will get a full treatment.
I'm chatting today with Dr. Angela Chu from the New South Wales Poisons Information Centre. Her co-authored guideline summary and supporting information are online at mja.com.au. If you need advice from a clinical toxicologist or a Poisons Information Centre, you can call 131126 if you're in Australia, or if you are in New Zealand, call 0800 764 766. Back to our chat.
And then the other big change is the big doses, so greater than 30 grams, they will all receive increased acetylcysteine, so doubling of the last bag. And the reason that is because the initial level may not be that high, the immediate release, the smaller immediate release portion, and then what happens is the level can be elevated for a long time, and so we feel they actually probably need more NAC further on, where the traditional regimen gives you more of a loading at the beginning.
Before we go any further, could you please give me a definition of what the paracetamol nomogram is? What does that mean? What's that phrase mean?
The paracetamol nomogram is it's a way to determine who needs treatment, and basically it's it can only be used in very specific circumstances. It was developed in the 1970s from work done by Prescott, Rumack and Matthews, and a way to look at when to administer acetylcysteine. The line's subsequently been lowered over the years. At the moment, the current paracetamol nomogram has been the same since, I think, the 2008 guideline. And basically, it's a line from 4 hours to 24 hours. And if you have a known time of ingestion with immediate release product, you take the earliest possible time and you can plot that on the nomogram line.
Right, yep.
And it indicates who needs treatment, or those who present after 8 hours post-ingestion, who you can, if the LFTs are normal, who you can stop treatment on.
Right.
So it's a way to say who needs antidote, who can we stop antidote on. But it can't be used in modified release, repeated supertherapeutic, if you don't know the time of ingestion.
So if you don't know the time of ingestion, how do you go about assessing what treatment someone needs?
So if you don't know the time, most commonly it's probably the unconscious patient. So if they've taken a toxic dose, and if you think it's more than 8 hours ago, or they've been found unconscious and you don't know and you suspect paracetamol, then you safest just to start acetylcysteine.
Right.
And then what you can do is risk assess them further with a paracetamol level and LFT. If you could estimate a time, someone may have seen them earlier the day, so they haven't taken it that time, you could try and time it from then, but
Are there any other change? For example, the liquid ingestion by kids, is there any change in guidelines there?
No, that's staying exactly the same. Okay. You can do a two-hour level. Repeated supertherapeutic is just the definition is tightening up.
Oh, okay.
So we found that it's interesting. It's that's the area where actually we get the most questions about and always has the most confusion. And I think it was just because the definition, what's really interesting, the definition for what is a toxic dose repeated supertherapeutic is different all over the world. But what we've said instead, it's the same definition, we're just trying to tighten the wording up a bit. So we've said it's 10 grams within 24 hours or 12 grams over the preceding 2 days. We used to say 6 grams for 2 days, then people will be like, well, what if I took 4 grams on one day and 12 on another? So we've just made it look over the other 2 days. Okay. And we've just said, look, anyone who takes more than a therapeutic takes a therapeutic dose and has symptoms, you should screen them. They're a very low screening threshold, basically. The more common thing in children, unfortunately, is the packet says, which is true, you can take it every 4 hours, but don't take more than 4 doses a day. People forget that last bit.
Yes.
And they'll keep dosing their child every 4 hours, so then they end up with a supertherapeutic ingestion. In this current climate where we know self-harm's going up in adolescent girls, there's a lot of data. MJ has published that data as well.
Sure did. Yep.
I think now we need to take a different it's a different world now, and we need to, you know, minimise harm. Unfortunately, there's 100 tablets out the front of the, but, you know, just easy to buy for $2.
Yeah.
I think that one extra step of having to ask the pharmacist. I think there's good guidelines now when to, we had it before, but it's really clear in the summary of when you can see NAC, when to call PIC, which is also helpful. Oh, we did add new and I've forgotten. From the old guidelines, we've added rural and remote area charts.
Yes.
From requests from rural and remote hospitals. So obviously the paracetamol overdose is very common in Australia. They don't have to retrieve all of them out. So low risk overdoses, even where there is minimum pathology, where we think it will still be low risk for them to treat there, we've given them that's ahead. Really just for rural and remote. Everyone else should follow everything else, but there are some areas requested guidelines for them, so we've tried to address their concerns as well.
Angela, thanks for your time.
No problem.
Thank you.
Thanks.
See ya.
Maybe speak to you again in another 4 years.
Definitely. My thanks to my special guest today. Don't forget that all our podcasts are open access and available at www.mja.com.au/podcasts. Or you can subscribe to our feed at iTunes. My name's Kate Swanell, and we'll see you next time.